Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I'm going to begin today a little backwards of what I usually do. I'm going to begin today with the gospel. You'll see as you look through the reading that the gospel helps to explain the first reading for today's Mass. Mark chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Jesus began to speak to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders in parables. He spoke in parables. He was getting them to really think, to see if they could make the connections they needed to make to understand who he was. Or were they so filled with themselves, so much pride, so much arrogance, they couldn't hear? So he begins to speak to these leaders of the people in parables. And here's the parable. A man planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenant farmers and left on a journey. Now, who do you think, when he says a man planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press, and built a tower? Who is that man? Who is that man? That is God. God in Christ. He was giving us a land. He was providing for that land. He was building those things or giving us those things that would help us to live peacefully and joyfully. And it says, and then he leased it to tenant farmers and left on a journey. Who are the tenant farmers? That's us, brothers and sisters. That's us. He created all of this and he gave it to us to care for. Right? At the proper time, he sent a servant to the tenants to obtain from them some of the produce of the vineyard. So tenants mean they have authority in caring for the land, but they don't own it. God does. Think of this in relation to yourself. God does. The tenant farmers. And so at the proper time, at the end of a season, at the harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants, let's suppose that's us, to obtain from them some of the produce of the vineyard. But what did they do? The owner had given him this land to work. What did they do? They seized him, they beat him, and they sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant. These are all oftentimes the prophets. They culminated in Jesus, but these are the prophets that were sent to warn the people, to teach the people, to help the people, and they rejected most of those prophets. Again, he sent them another servant, and that one they beat over the head and treated shamefully. He sent yet another whom they killed. So too many others, some they beat, others they killed. It's the story of the Old Testament. He had one other to send, a beloved son. He sent him to them, last of all, thinking they will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." Let's kill Jesus. We have our rulers. We don't need this upstart. Let's kill him. So they seized him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and put the tenants to death and give the vineyard to others. Brothers and sisters, this world has been given to us. We're tenant farmers in a sense. It doesn't belong to us. We treat it like it does, but it doesn't. What do we owe the farmer, the head farmer, so to speak? What do we owe Christ? What do we owe God? Our ancestors destroyed the beloved son when he was sent to us to try and turn us back so that we really could bear fruit a hundredfold even in this life, but we didn't want to do that. We wanted things our way. We wanted our rulers. to be who we wanted. Does that sound familiar? Have you not read this scripture passage? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. That's what God in Christ, he's the cornerstone of everything for us. Is it wonderful in your eyes that God sent his beloved son to redeem us? God sent, even after all our mistakes, all our rejection of the prophets, the anointed one sent by God, even after we rejected all that, God gave us his beloved son. Surely they will listen to him. And we treated him most cruelly of all. This is my land. This is my home. I will do with it what I want. How much pride and arrogance is in all of us? They were seeking to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, for they realized that he had addressed the parable to them. So they left him and went away. Not that they gave up, they just went away to reconnoiter, to plan. They realized that when he gave them that parable of the tenant farmers and his son, that he was speaking of them. They didn't like that. So they left him and went away, not to give up, but only to plot further how to destroy him. When you, in dealing with your own life, do you recognize the real enemy? The real enemies are those who take you away from God, take you away from following him, take you away from bearing fruit for his glory and for your salvation. Are you one of the obstacles? Are you one who rebels, or are you one who follows? The first reading for today from the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 2 to 7. Beloved, may grace and peace be yours in abundance through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we get grace and we get peace by learning about the Lord and by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord. There's a way, brothers and sisters, reading the scriptures, reading the catechism, praying. You come to know him. The word is living. The scripture is living. The catechism simply elaborates in the sense of giving you examples and explanations for what those passages mean. But the catechism isn't just creating another book. It's helping you to understand what God says in his word for you and for your salvation. Take it seriously. God has loaned this land to us. We're tenant farmers, in a sense, of this land. And one day we will have to render an account for what we did in our own life, the lives of those most closely related. We will have to render an account. Are you living life in that light? You don't need to be afraid. If you're doing the best you can and asking forgiveness when you fail, you don't need to worry, but you do need to be zealous for the kingdom. You do need to desire to build up the kingdom in whatever small way you can contribute. You cannot be passive. The enemy is too strong. Passivity will destroy you. You have to engage. You have to make a decision. You have to get in the fight to win the whole kingdom over to Jesus Christ. Whatever Satan has attempted to rob or steal, we need to return it to Jesus. And that depends on you and me. His divine power has bestowed on us everything that makes for life and devotion through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and power. Through these, he has bestowed on us the precious and very great promises, so that through them you may come to share in the divine nature after escaping from the corruption that's in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. In other words, live out your faith. If you believe in God, and you believe what God made of you, and the purpose for which you're living, then supplement that faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with devotion, devotion with mutual affection with love. In other words, live a life of faith, hope, and love. And you can. You can. You make the decision. But God supplies so much through His Holy Spirit. We didn't celebrate the Feast of Pentecost that long ago. Pentecost is not just a day during the year. We take a day to commemorate. But Pentecost celebrates the life of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And you want to acknowledge the life of the Holy Spirit so that He can lead you into the kind of faith and hope and love that St. Peter is talking about here in his letter. In you, my God, I place my trust. Psalm 91, in you I place my trust. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Ask for trust. Ask for faith. But brothers and sisters, let's grab hold of the good book. And it is the good book. Ponder it. Ask God, let the words on this page come alive in me. Increase my faith, my hope, my love. Ask for it. God loves to be asked. And when we ask according to His will, and His will is that we can grow in wisdom and knowledge, in faith and hope and love in order to serve Him, then the reward is eternal. Come on, don't be short-sighted. You were not created for just a period of time, 60, 70, 80 years, says the scripture, if we are strong. God made you to live with Him for all eternity. God knows you. He knows every weakness. He knows every strength. Give your life to Him. Day in and day out. Lord, I give it to you. I belong to you. Use me as you desire. In you, my God, I place my trust. In you, I place my trust. Question is, do we? Or do I turn to God when every other earthly thing fails? Don't do that. Turn to God first. And if God has an answer for you that partly uses what we have here on earth, blessed be His name. Doctors, for example. It's still an act of God, but sometimes, many times, God wants to answer us directly. And we don't receive it because we do not ask. In fact, Scripture tells us you do not receive because you do not ask. Ask with faith. Jesus, I need help. Jesus, come and show me the way. And He will. May God lead you, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.